We're going to read from Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, the words of Christ in the Sermon on the Mount. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And may the Lord bless this reading from his word. You will know that I believe that the subject of prayer is one that is of vital importance to Christians. We have a weekly prayer meeting midweek. We have other prayer meetings from time to time. Those are public prayer meetings. But we also believe that it is important that we seek the Lord privately. Prayer is an activity of which Scripture has an awful lot to say, both Old and New Testament. But in reading the Bible, you'll find a distinction is always made between real praying and merely saying prayers. There's a little hymn that goes something like that. I often say my prayers, but do I ever pray? And something like, do the motions of my heart go with the words I say, or something to that effect. There's a very great difference between real praying and just saying your prayers. All over this world tonight, in just about every religion or sect or cult imaginable, people believe in saying prayers. In the Muslim religion, there's the call to prayer that's made from the minaret by the religious leader, and people all flock, especially on Friday, to Friday prayers. There are people in Jerusalem who stand beside a wall there that's called the Wailing Wall, and they rock back and forth, and they're saying prayers, and many of the prayers they write on pieces of paper and stuff them into the cracks in the wall. They say prayers, but do they ever really pray? Saying your prayers is not praying. Matthew 6 verse 7 we've just read, and Jesus said, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions. You'll notice the Lord doesn't say use not repetitions, because not all repetitions are vain. You may pray about the same things over and over and over and over again. For example, if you're praying for the conversion of a loved one and that loved one is not yet converted, you continue to pray for that person. So you're involved in repetition in prayer, but hopefully it's not vain repetition. Vain repetitions, the Lord says, we're not to use as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. And oftentimes much speaking and prayer is a bad mixture. Now many who are not involved in heathen religions or cults, etc., but attend Bible-believing churches can be little better off than the heathen in this respect, because, let's face it, we could merely say prayers. It's possible for us to learn things, terminology, phraseology, even scripture, and go over a form of words, but never have real fellowship and communion with God in prayer. Our hearts are not ascending with our petitions. That can happen. Now you can say prayers without ever being saved. That's also a fact. It is a vain exercise. But you can never really pray till you've been born again. Now as true believers, we do believe, we do accept that prayer, both private and public, is of vital importance to us. And tonight I just, for a brief time, want to examine the subject of prayer generally to God. Now we do often talk about prayer in the prayer meetings, but I want to talk about it again tonight. And there are several very simple things that I want to mention. Number one, there is what I would call the undeniable privilege of prayer. And it is a privilege. Think of what the Bible says of Moses, the servant of God. In Exodus chapter 24, in the first two verses, the Lord said unto Moses, "Come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu," those were the two sons of Aaron, "and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him." What a wonderful privilege was afforded to Moses, that he alone, in this instance, was to come near to the Lord. Now if you go further in the book of Exodus to chapter 33, in verse number 11, the Bible says that the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. A face-to-face encounter with the Lord. Moses was a man whom the Lord knew in that way. How greatly privileged he was. And yet when we think about this Old Testament character, and we think about what the New Testament says about all Christians, how privileged we too may be. Because in James chapter 4 verse 8, for instance, the Bible says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you." That means if you draw near to the Lord will draw near to you. We think about God. He is invisible. In a sense, you could say he is untouchable. He's unapproachable in some respects. The Bible tells us that he dwells in light which no man can approach unto. You'll find that in 1 Timothy and in the chapter number 6. "Who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto." And yet, though the Bible says that about God, it also tells us that in the place of prayer, we can and we do draw near to God. This is not a contradiction. This is telling us that naturally we can't draw near to God, but spiritually we can draw near to God. He's given us that privilege. Hebrews 4 verse 16 is a verse that we often like to quote in connection with the prayer meeting. Wonderful words. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." What's the throne of grace? It's God's throne. It's the throne upon which he sits. It's that throne of which Paul said no man can approach to it. And yet, by grace, in prayer, we can approach that throne. What an undeniable privilege every believer enjoys. Fellowship with God. Praying to the Lord is a great privilege. There are some leaders in this world that folks in their various countries would imagine it would be a great privilege to speak to. I know the British people would consider it a great honor to be able to go and visit the Queen in Buckingham Palace and have tea or whatever with her. But how infinitely greater is the honor that we can have in seeking the face of the great King of Heaven, the Lord Himself. It is an undeniable privilege, and it's an undeniable privilege that we are expected to partake of. Prayer is something that we are expected to do. As a Christian, prayer should be just as natural to your soul as breathing is to your body. I don't know what the statistics are, but there are people who keep note of things like that and tell us how many times in a day the average person breathes. And I can imagine it's thousands of times that you breathe in and breathe out. Now, how often do you think about that? You come into church and you sit there for however long it is, depends on how long the preacher is, and you breathe. And you don't even think about it. You just do it, because that's what your body does. And really, prayer ought to be like that for the Christian. The Christian life begins with prayer. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it continues with prayer. You'll notice in those verses in Matthew 6 that we read together, the Lord never says, if ye pray, but when ye pray. This is something that we do when we're truly saved. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus said that God's elect cry unto him day and night. The psalmist tells us, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth. It is actually an evidence of a man's salvation when he prays. This was the characteristic, this was the trait that God drew Ananias' attention to in relation to Saul of Tarsus. He said, I'm going to tell you where you'll find him, and behold, he prayeth. He's praying. Here's the evidence that he's truly now converted. We have a right to expect that a person who is really converted, who is really saved, will pray. Whereas the ungodly are marked by the fact that they call not upon the Lord. They don't really pray, though they may say their prayers. Prayer is a privilege we are expected to partake of. Prayer is a privilege we are exhorted to partake of. Now, should we need to be reminded to pray, we would probably answer, no, probably not. It should be something that we don't need to be urged to do or exhorted to do. And yet we are exhorted to do it. And we are urged to do it. Because you know and I know that very often, because of the frailty of our own flesh, prayer might be the last thing that we want to engage in. Sometimes in a period of trouble, when something happens and we're in a bit of a crisis, instead of praying, the tendency might be to scratch around for a solution ourselves, or to talk to someone else other than the Lord. And the hymn writer talked about that, and how that many will waste their breath filling their concerns, filling up the fellow creature's ear with their concerns instead of coming to the Lord. Luke chapter 18 verse 1, the Lord spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. I love the translation that one man gave to that, that men ought always to pray and not to cave in. And we have that tendency to give up and to cave in rather than to pray. Notice the number of times our Lord Jesus exhorted his disciples to pray. Even in the garden, when they were with him, he had to tell them more than once, watch and pray. He said on another occasion, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. On another occasion, Jesus said to the disciples, pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. The Holy Ghost through Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. There's an exhortation. There's something that we're told to do. It's verse 17, by the way. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Verse 18 is a good verse as well. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We are exhorted to partake of the privilege of prayer. You might imagine that we shouldn't need to be told, and yet because of the infirmity of our flesh, we do need to be exhorted to seek the Lord. And the Lord does that. And as we read His Word, He's reminding us all the time of the necessity of prayer, the need to seek Him for everything. It is an undeniable privilege that we are expected to partake of. It is an undeniable privilege that we are exhorted to partake of. And then it is an undeniable privilege that we are encouraged to partake of. We are encouraged to partake in prayer by the wonderful promises that are attached to prayer in the Bible. What wonderful blessings are promised to the people of God through prayer. The Lord doesn't often give us promises apart from prayer. He doesn't often tell us, well, I'll do this for you, that for you, and the other thing for you, without seeking Him for those things. It is the Lord's will that we call upon Him. And what great encouragements there are to prayer in the Scripture. It has often been remarked that in Ezekiel chapter 36, over and over and over again, the Lord comforts Israel with promises. And if you read that chapter, you'll see that there's a repetition of this kind of phraseology, I will, or will I will, over and over and over again, the things that the Lord will do. I will multiply men upon you. I will multiply upon you man and beast. I will do better unto you than at your beginnings. Over and over and over again, the Lord says, I will do this. I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you'll be clean. A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And all the way through, you have these promises, one on top of another. But then you come down to the latter part of the chapter, Ezekiel 36, verse 37, and what does the Lord say? I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. In other words, I want you to pray about these things. I want you to ask me for these things. Even though I've promised to give them to you, I will give them to you in connection with prayer. I will yet for this be inquired of to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, and so on. You come to the New Testament, to Luke's Gospel chapter 11, and to the encouragement that the Savior gives there concerning prayer in connection with a parable. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And the devil will tell you, if you ask, it will not be given to you. If you seek, you will not find. If you knock, it will not be opened unto you. But the devil's a liar. And just notice the words that are used in that ninth verse. And I say unto you, the words of Christ. Can we not trust His promise? We come to pray, whether it be in our own homes, we're traveling along, or we're in our own house, or we come to the prayer meeting and we ask, and we seek, and we knock. And the Lord has said, it'll be given you. Ye shall find. It shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And then the Lord gives us these encouragements from verses 11 to 13. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? He's not going to give him the counterfeit. He's going to give him the real thing. If he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? No. If he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? No. This is a rhetorical question. It contains its own answer. We know the Lord will not give us the counterfeit. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Prayer is a privilege that we are encouraged to partake of. And the promises of God that are annexed to the prayers of his people are abundant in Scripture. The Lord Jesus said on another occasion, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Do we believe that? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Do we believe that? Or the word of God to Jeremiah, that which a colleague of mine referred to once as the Lord's telephone number, his own personal number. I wonder what he was talking about. He said it's Jeremiah 33:3. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And there's another great promise in the Psalms, in Psalm 50, I believe it is. Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. What encouragements there are in the promises of God. Furthermore, what encouragements there are to this privilege of prayer in the answers to prayer that are recorded in the Bible. You think of the things that happened in answer to the faithful praying of God's people. You know, prayer, according to J.C. Ryle, is the appointed way to obtain the relief of our spiritual necessities. It opens the treasury and sets the fountain flowing. And we think of these examples in Scripture of what the Lord did in answer to the prayers of his people. It was an answer to prayer that the sun stood still and the moon in the valley of Ajalon in the days of Joshua. It was an answer to prayer that the fire of God fell from heaven in the days of Elijah. It was an answer to prayer that the Lord blessed Daniel and the Hebrew children. It was, I believe, though the Bible doesn't expressly or explicitly state it, I believe it was an answer to prayer that the Jews were preserved in the time of Esther, because there was a fast that was proclaimed. And really the suggestion there is that they sought the Lord in prayer as well. Think of the many things that happened in answer to prayer in the Bible. Think of the encouragement of answers to prayer that God's people have known in church history. Some of the great prayer warriors, I don't know if you've ever read the life of that great saint of God, George Mueller, but he was a man who believed so strongly in the power of prayer. And he practiced it. And he put the Lord to the test. And the Lord came through every time. There's encouragement to pray in the promises of God. There's encouragement in the answers to prayer that have been known by others, not only in biblical days, but in church history, and furthermore in our own lives. I'm sure that if you stop to think about it tonight, you can point to many, many occasions when the Lord has stepped in and answered prayer in your life. And you can think back on that, and as the hymn says, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. And you can think of certain instances, and you know you were up against it, and you sought the Lord about that thing, and the Lord came through. And the Lord answered prayer. Why do we doubt him? Why do we doubt that he will help us in the future, when hitherto hath the Lord helped us? Prayer is an undeniable privilege. And I want to just encourage you again tonight with this thought, that not only is it something we're expected to partake of as a duty, and we're exhorted to partake of by the Scripture, but it is a privilege that we are encouraged to partake of and to partake in, because God answers prayer. There's a little chorus that we used to sing quite a lot when I was young. God answers prayer in the morning. God answers prayer at noon. God answers prayer in the evening. So keep your heart in tune. And there's another verse to that. Revival may come in the morning. Revival may come at noon. Revival may come in the evening. So keep your heart in tune. May the Lord teach us to pray, and may the Lord teach us to keep on praying for His glory and for His name's sake. Amen.